Today, my dear faithful, is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3. Brethren, I pray you not to faint in my tribulations for you, which are your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, from whom all paternity in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by his Spirit with might unto the inward man, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know also the charity of Christ which surpasseth all knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do all things more abundantly than we seek or understand, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus, unto all generations, world without end. Amen. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 14. At that time, when Jesus went to the house of one of the chiefs of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day to eat bread, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him that had the dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" But they held their peace. But he, taking him, healed him and sent him away. And answering them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not immediately draw him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him to these things. And he spoke a parable also to them that were invited, marking how they chose the first seats at the table, saying to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding, sit not down in the first place, lest perhaps one more honorable than thou be invited by him. And he that invited thee, and him come and say to thee, 'Give this man place,' and then thou begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when thou art invited, go sit down in the lowest place, that when he who invited thee cometh, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then shalt thou have glory before them that sit at table with thee, because everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Being rooted and founded in charity, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, some time in the 19th century, there was a small Catholic town called Alta. Alta had long been the poorest parish in a very poor missionary diocese. However, in the space of 3 years, that had all changed. For years, the Catholic parish had struggled for survival amidst poverty, religious bigotry, and the laxity of the Catholics. Now, at the time of the story, they were celebrating the consecration of their newly finished parish church. Just 3 years before, Father Henry, a newly ordained priest, had arrived, and the parish finally came to life. When he first came, Father Henry found not quite 20 poor families in the entire parish. And these families were quite lax in their practice of their religion. They could hardly support their pastor from their poverty. And what they gave grudgingly. 3 years later, though, there were 76 families, and they had completed a beautiful new parish church. The chief reason for this, aside from the priest's zeal, was the return to the faith of Mr. McDermott, who was the local factory owner and a fallen away Catholic of many years. Alta had long been considered McDermott's town, and McDermott held a grudge against Catholics for many years, and he had refused to hire them. Once he was converted, though, his factory was open to Catholics, and Catholic families flocked to the town. With his parish so quickly growing, Father Henry set about repairing the church. In just a short time, the repairs were completed, and the bishop came to consecrate this new church and join in the celebration. His bishop, his fellow priest, his parishioners, a great crowd came to rejoice in the accomplishments of Father Henry. And yet, while all rejoiced, the bishop seemed quiet. He smiled readily, but with a certain meaningful sadness in his eyes. The great day continued on, though. The church was consecrated, the cornerstone was laid, and a great feast was held. Finally, the toast came, and all stood to honor Father Henry. One of the priests gave the toast, extolling the young priest's great accomplishments and his zeal in such a poor parish. And then the bishop slowly stood to speak. He paused, and all wondered at the quiet. With a voice that slightly quivered as of a person holding back tears, the bishop said, "No one more warmly than I, his bishop, tender congratulations to Father Henry. This is truly a day that the Lord has made. But will you pardon an old man if he stems the tide of mirth for an instant?" The bishop then began to tell the story of just 10 years before, of how a certain Father Belmont had been stationed at this same poverty-stricken Alta. Few families attended, and they were both poor and lax in their faith. Father Belmont survived on a pittance, yet no one ever heard him complain of his poverty. For the next few years, the bishop heard of Father Belmont through the priest's yearly reports and meetings with him. Then, one winter night, the bishop was on a train near Alta when a boy rushed in asking for him to come see Father Belmont, for Father Belmont lay sick and on death's door. The bishop rushed through the winter snows to his priest. He found him weak, but still conscious. The bishop gave him the sacraments and then knelt by his bed in prayer. The sickness took hold of the priest, and he fell into delirium. And that was when his whole story came out. How through all those quiet years without complaints, Father Belmont survived on so little, had worked so hard, hoped so much, but always his hopes were crushed before him. His people were losing their faith. They were ceasing to care. And then there was Mr. McDermott, the rich factory owner, with his bigotry against Catholics and the petty persecution he instigated against the pastor. He even got the local boys to insult and spit upon the priest when he walked through the town. But, the bishop said, every now and then through the story, as if the words came naturally to bear him up, as if he had repeated them 1,000 times before, the priest would say, "It's for God's sake. I am nothing. It will all come in his own good time. Father Bellman continued with his sad tale, right down to just the day before, when he received a call from none other than Mr. McDermott, the bigoted factory owner, who now lay sick and possibly dying, and asked for a priest. The good priest immediately set out, trudging 25 miles through the snow to get to the apostate's bedside. McDermott received the last rites, and the exhausted priest soon left for the rectory, another 25 miles through the snow. Once inside, he collapsed in fever that was now taking his life. Soon after finishing his account in his delirium, this zealous priest soon passed from life. Mr. McDermott, on the other hand, he grew better. While still sick in bed, he asked to see the bishop, and the first question McDermott had was, "Is he dead?" The bishop knew who the factory owner was speaking of, and he told him the story of Father Bellman's death, and the story that he had told him. "God forgive me," cried out the sick man. "That priest died for me. He believed in the worth of a soul, and he himself was the noblest soul that Alta ever had." McDermott then fell silent, pondering long. He turned to the bishop and said, "Bishop, send us another priest to Alta, who can do things, one after the stamp of the saint who just died. I will be his friend, I promise you that, and together we will carry on the work this saint began." Here the bishop paused in his tale. The bishop turned to Father Henry, the present pastor, and said, "Father Henry, I did not praise you today as much as I might have done, because I reserve for you a praise that is higher than all of them. I believed when I sent you here that you were of Father Bellman's stamp, that you would also have willingly given your life for Alta." Here, my dear faithful, the story of Alta ends as far as it was told. That good priest, Father Bellman, did indeed understand, as McDermott said, the worth of a soul. This bloodless martyr knew and understood what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of the Sacred Heart for the souls of men. He saw that souls were worth such work and toil, pain and suffering, his life itself. He died a heroic death like a bloodless martyr, dying for the love of God and for souls. He grasped something of the flame that burns in the Sacred Heart, just as Saint Margaret Mary herself received in her visions. You see, at one time, St. Margaret Mary knelt before our Lord as our divine Savior, all resplendent with glory, revealed to her his most sacred heart. Brilliant flames shot forth from the heart of Christ, burning and consuming it with infinite love for mankind. Then our Lord took a small spark from this fire and placed it in the saint's heart. That little spark so inflamed St. Margaret Mary, she became the saint we know her as today. And that, my dear faithful, is what every priest needs, a small spark of the infinite love of God to inflame his heart, to lead him to spend himself for souls, to give everything for their conquest. For that reason, every first Sunday of the month, we have the prayer for vocations. We ask you to pray for vocations that many young men and many young women will catch that spark of the Sacred Heart and give their whole selves to becoming saintly priests and fervent religious. We pray that our young men may comprehend with all the saints, as the Epistle says, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of the Sacred Heart for men. That they see what a joy, what a glory it is to be the instrument of God's grace, to remove sin from men's souls, to stand at the altar and bring God himself down upon it, and to hold God in his weak hands and carry the Creator to men. But of course, we ask you to not also forget to pray for those who have already taken this path. Pray that they may burn ever more brightly with God's love for men and live as a Father Bellman from the story, giving their entire selves for God's glory and the salvation of souls. Pray also to God for the priest who already work in the Lord's vineyard. Ask God that we priests of the congregation of St. Pius V, both present and future, may spend ourselves for the eternal salvation of souls. Beg God that Christ may dwell in our hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, we may truly comprehend the worth of souls and spend everything for it. Keep us in your prayers, my dear faithful, that there may be ever more and more priests and religious brothers, that we may all become saints, in order that we may do our utmost to conquer souls for the Sacred Heart. Pray for us, my dear faithful, knowing that we will always be praying for you. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.